CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. All right, so we're here and live, and things are happening on this Monday morning. The 19th of September. Oh, wow. I know. I'm not even going to say it because it irritates people when I do, but oh, it's moving. Things are moving fast. And I know, it's crazy, right? And I don't know if you did anything this weekend or if you did anything fun this weekend or if there's anything you want to tell us about that you got up to this weekend, but I had the most, like, just chilled weekend ever. Like, literally yesterday, I didn't even go to the shops to, like, buy food. I did nothing. Zero, 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 zero. So I felt lazy. I felt lazy, but I felt terrific. Because there's nothing better, actually. I mean, like, you...
Well,
there's nothing
was
better
it,
than that.
It isn't, right?
Was it your choice to not do much, or did ESCOM play a part in you not doing much?
No, it was totally up to me. And I will say that load shedding didn't even get in my way because... Oh, shame. There goes Mash.
Indeed.
There goes Mash. There's nothing. Oh, I can see his teeth. No, load shedding had nothing to do with my day yesterday or this whole weekend, actually. I paid zero attention to it, which I know is not the case for everybody. I know, it's so annoying. I mean, I woke up to it this morning.
It's a part of our lives.
It is, but you know what? It should not be. And we've got this fucking pretend president of ours who's like, goes around smiling and shaking everyone's hands. He's like a fucking puppet. And he is such a disappointment. Like, I cannot find anyone, even, like, staunch ANC people who I've known, who are dyed-in-the-wool ANC people, who've been ANC people their whole lives. It's all they know. And even they look at this guy and they're like, oh, my God, it's a big joke. It's like these guys, you know those people who... They tell you they're an actor, and then you find out, no, they've only ever really been in, like, the school play. And you're like, really,
yeah.
That's all
you're an extra.
Yeah, that's all you've done? You're pathetic. And and they'll say to you, no. Oh, no, I'm an engineer. And you're like, what have you built? I once put the handle on one of my doors at home. You're like, oh, okay, so you're not really an engineer at all. Yeah, that's what he's like. And... So are his cabinets. And I saw someone posted a thing this weekend. I think, you know, innocently enough, they were like, oh, wonder who's going to end up running the ANC in 2022 after the December conference. And I was like, really? Do you really want to know who? Because it doesn't matter. It's like amateur hour anyway. You know, and if there's anything, like, I do want to find a reason to be optimistic and to see a silver lining in everything, you know, that's part of what I like to do. The silver lining for me is that once you have seen how completely ESCOM makes a mockery of anyone pretending to be a government in South Africa right now, once you've looked at how their complete, rank, gross, amateur incompetence has rendered them quite obviously all those things. Like, you need to work very hard to make people look as bad as ESCOM is making the government look. So, for me, the upshot, the silver lining is, these guys are so cuck now that you can say they're cuck and there's no one who can defend them because it is so obvious now, it's so glaring that you don't have to have that argument with people. You know, there was a time... and I know because I was saying these things when I spoke about the president of the ANC, and I was called all kinds of things.
That's right.
I mean, this is now, 12 years ago that I said, ooh, hang on, guys, there's quite a lot of... And one of the things I pointed out at that time was a guy called Alec Irwin and the incompetence of ESCOM, which we already were dealing with load shedding and a lack of maintenance and a pilfering of everything that was inside of ESCOM. They were like in Lord of the Rings, you know, when the orcs tear down things and they break everything and they ruin it and they fuck it up. And then people are like, oh, wow. Yes. But you can't say that because that would make you, like, racist towards orcs in that case. And I'm like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
The ANC is like a band of orcs. And there are, like, Alec Irwin was a white person in the ANC, but he was just as bad, if not worse, than some of the other people who were there. And I couldn't get away with saying that then. Because people would say to me, people would say, mm-mm, you can't say that. Because that's really, really bad. You know, the ANC is this liberation organization. They've done a lot for the country. It's the organization of Nelson Mandela and all of that stuff. Now, people are like, actually, you're right.
And you know, the funny part about it is ANC still lives in that that whole apartheid narrative.
Mm.
They have
it's all
been
they got.
Pushing that for decades. They have nothing else to push.
It's all they've got. And they're now out of...
Come election.
They're out of stuff. So let's look at it as a positive, at least in that respect. I didn't feel like starting this morning talking about Eskom, even though everybody is, right? It's all that anyone was talking about this weekend. Because it's so bad now. It's like, what are we on, stage 5 or 6? What are we?
We're on stage six. And we're going to go to, we might, there's a high possibility of us going to stage 8.
What does that mean?
So what happened over the weekend was there was also a substation issue.
Oh, boy.
So I didn't have power for 17 hours.
Mm. Yen.
Yeah. So everyone's had to throw everything out of their freezers. My dad does not like wasting things, right? He's one of those guys. And he did not throw away the stuff in the freezer. And I said to my brother, 12 hours before it happened, I'm telling you now, my dad's going to feed my mom something from the freezer or the fridge.
Oh, wow.
Strews Bob. Yesterday afternoon, my mom had to poke us.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, there's a large area where I stay where you've had to throw away your food because it can't re-freeze. Because the fridges went totally warm.
Oh, shit. So we've
got... Do you know how long it takes?
So we've reached that point where actually you've got to now throw away stuff from your freezer.
Well, no, look, we had a substation issue as well. And I like the official update we got on our group on an official document which said, update on the substation. They need new oil. They are going to get the oil and heat it up. And then repair the station.
Oh, my God. Like cooking oil. Oh, that's bad.
Who knows?
It's really, really sad and pathetic. Because you imagine these guys. Like, so Cyril's off to the Queen's funeral today, right?
Yes.
So he's going to be pretending to be the leader of our country again. He's going to be there in a suit, looking fucking stupid, as he always does. Shaking hands and... pretending he's important because he's at a world event, when back home here, nothing works. So the guys...
don't even have basics.
Yeah, so he's dressing up. That's what he's doing. And, like, that's what it pretty much amounts to. It's like he's pretending. And he's like, well, I'm the president of a country. But actually, he's not a president of a country at all. He's a fucking joke. And so is this country of ours, because we don't even have power to keep the lights on. So I'm not bullshitting anybody anymore, and I don't have to. And we don't have to skirt around the issues anymore. We don't have to talk about, like, oh, but do we have the best cadres deployed? There's no such thing as the best cadres. None of them are the best. They all shit at everything they do. Sanele rightly says, Prasa has no money. The SABC has no money. Eskom has no money. Transnet has no money. SAA has no money. SANRAL has no money. NISFAS has no money. The UIF has no money. Everything the ANC touches is reduced to null. Spot on, I'm afraid.
Yes.
And you know what the problem is? Here's what really bothers me about this. As somebody who's been trying for his whole adult life to make South Africans hopeful, to give us something to work towards, for us to feel good about ourselves, because we're a good country, we're good people. We don't deserve to have been led by this bunch of morons, right? And they're morons. There's no other way to put it. And everything that they've touched, as Sanelis just said, has turned to shit. So there's every bit of evidence. You don't need to believe me. Just look at what is. You know, reality's doing all the work for us. But here's the problem. is like people who believed the best in South Africa, people who all over the world, including South Africans, thought, no, man, we're smart people. We can do better than this. I know that that person who's, you know, running the shop at the corner, I know that that mm-hmm. person who's the security guard at the complex at the gate, I know that that person who is trying to manage a business with like 20 people in it, I know that that person who sells this or buys that or does this, they're all trying their best, and they are. They are. They're good people. But when everybody in charge of the country starts fucking up, what inevitably starts happening is the people inside the country start looking at each other going, are they one of the good ones or the bad ones? Are they one of the good people or the bad people? Are they one of the ones doing the damage or doing the good? Because you have to now start doing this, right? You have to start looking at everybody going, can I trust that person? Is that one of the people who's doing the thieving and the stealing and the fucking up? Or is that one of the people doing the good things? So the sad part of this is now we all start like second guessing each other, which is not a good place for a country to find itself. Because when you start doing that, it's only a quick jump and a hop and a skip until everybody starts putting up very high walls. They stop listening to each other. They start suspecting each other. And everything starts falling apart, in the words of Zexum Da. And I'm afraid, like, that's probably already happening in some parts of the country, especially in places places where people have nothing that they can trust each other for anymore. Like, you know, basic services like electricity, running water, that kind of shit. Then people are like, well, it's each man for himself now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we live in a country where our government is so proud of the fact that almost 50% of our population is on grants. Almost 50% of our population depends on grants and is unemployed, and doesn't even have access to clean water.
You're right, they're proud.
That's how low our bar is.
And they're proud of it. They're like,
brag about it all the time.
That's what we've got going, you know?
So, but Gareth, I've always used you as like a barometer because, you know, I don't know if it's news to anyone, but I tend to be anxious and panic sometimes.
Oh, you? No way. You anxious? No.
So every time I'm surrounded by people who are particularly wanting to pack for Perth, you have this mentality of, should I be doing the same? And I've always used you as a barometer. And you always have been positive and said, it's really not that bad, we will recover.
Hmm.
And this time I'm actually a little bit scared to ask you because I'm scared of whether this will recover in, be able to be recovered in the in like 10 years or 5, or will it take as long as since apartheid ended?
I don't know that answer. I don't have a way to predict the future, but I do think that things had to and have to get worse before they get better, because people are not going to be shocked into action until it affects pretty much all of us. And there's still a lot of people in South Africa who aren't affected. There's the very, very wealthy, very connected, very elite ANC bunch who think everything's fine because they don't know what bread costs. They don't know what traffic is. They don't know what a lack of electricity is because everything is paid for by the citizens of this country, by tax. So those people are not going to feel anything. They're going to think, but what are you moaning about? Everything's fine. You know? And they're still connected to that big cash cow that although it's emaciated and the milk is sour, they look around them and they see other people who are starving and have nothing to eat. And they're like, well, at least we got some sour milk. That's good. We'll just keep drinking that until it's dead. So there are those people who never feel it. There are going to always be people who are wealthy enough to be able to insulate themselves to a degree, either because they've really worked hard and they've been extremely careful and clever about where they put their money. And those people, God bless them, I don't know how, but they will survive anything. Those people are just incredibly thrifty and smart, and they can figure a way out of anything. So there are always going to be those extremely clever people. And then there are going to be those people who gave up a long time ago. Those people who don't know what it feels to live in a working country anymore. People in far-flung rural parts of South Africa who just, they don't even know what government feels like. They're like, what? Government? Are you, I haven't had one of those. I haven't had one of those in 20 years. What are you talking about? And those people will also just struggle on because they don't have an option, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like being in a bad marriage where you're financially dependent on someone and you just can't get out.
Sure.
So you're
trapped.
So to go back to your question, I can't predict the future, but I'm in like with the rest of us, and I'm not. I don't have any plans to scupper the boat and stand on some far-flung shore and point and laugh. Like, that's not going to be what I want to do. So I think this calls on, you know, there are those people who go, I wish I had more purpose in my life. I wish I had a reason to be alive. I wish I had more of a reason to participate in society and to make a difference. And I wish I could be important. There are a lot of people in the world who go, I wish I could be important. Well, here's the fucking sign you were looking for. If you really want to make, if you want to make a difference in the world, you are in the right place at the right time. And I don't know what that means. I don't know exactly how that's going to take shape around you. Maybe it means you have to take up leadership in your community. Maybe it means you have to build something. Maybe it means you have to invent something. Maybe it means you have to help others overcome stuff that you can't, that they can't, that you can. There's stuff that you can do, and there's stuff we're all going to have to do. And not just in South Africa, you know, I look at the world, and the world is a bit messed up right now. I do think there's a part of me that has accepted, and this is a tough thing to accept, because I am always, as Leanne just said to you, always looking for the next thing, silver linings, life is getting better, it's the best time to be alive. I still believe in all of that. But there is a big part of me that's realistic as hell now, and it's practical, and it's saying, no, when we look back on the whole of human history over the last 100 years, and I've only lived 40-odd of those 100 years, but I will say that the best time, and we didn't realize it at the time, was probably about 10, 15 years ago. It's not, in other words, people who are going to be in their 20s in 10 years from now are not going to have the kind of 20s that MASH had. And MASH didn't have the kind of 20s that we had. And I know that every generation thinks it's got it better than the previous one or than the one that's coming. But I really think that objectively, I think life was really at its best in South Africa in the 90s and 2000s because we were still a country that was full of hope. We had lots of things to achieve, to prove to the world.
Yeah.
You know, there was opportunity and we were alive with possibility. That was the line that they threw around. But that was true.
Yes.
It was true. Mm. Now it's going to be like, oh my God, we've got to work our tits off just to be a place that's habitable. So get ready, guys. I mean, it's like, you know what? May you live in interesting times is an old Irish curse, but it's also an old Irish luck, wish of luck.
Mm.
So may you live in interesting times. We've got, whether you like it or not, we've got interesting times, so let's get on with it. We've got, this is our fucking ship, let's fix it, because we don't have another ship. And if we don't fix this one while we're at sea, we're just going to sink in it, and that's not a nice way to go. So let's fix this thing. Let's get cracking. We've got things to do.
Yeah. Talking about fixing things, there's a. I don't know if you've got the photos yet, but
potholes
at the bottom of my road.
Yeah.
And in fact, before this pothole turned into what it did, I drove over it. And it was one of those situations where you're almost flung out of your car and you go, oh shit! You can just imagine your axles like bending. And then 2 days later, it looked like this.
Okay.
And yesterday, so I drove past it. I have to drive past it every day. Someone stopped, took their T-shirt off, and got into it because it's full of water, and it's the size of a plunge pool.
Wow.
You know, you can stand in it.
That's on your street, huh?
That's on my street. I drove over that 2 days before, and it was still sealed at the top. But I could feel that something bad was going to happen. And all this. I mean, that would swallow my whole car.
All right, so the short version of my long spiel, because I spoke for way too long just now, is the pothole is there. You're not going to pretend it's not there. You have to either take your shirt off and jump in and make the most of it, or you can sit and bitch in the side about how terrible the pothole is. Like, this person is probably bringing more attention to it by jumping in and having a swim
yes.
on a hot summer's day. So I reckon...
Put these on social media.
Yeah, there it is. There's the.
Yeah.
Put these on social media. At least you've got something to laugh at, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was taken yesterday afternoon. So, you know, and because I'm in such close proximity, I knew about it first. But I'm telling you, that photo is going to go viral today.
It is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It 100% is. Yeah. And you know, Gareth, I was actually thinking of what you just said, that... About 10 years ago, in fact, about 15 years ago, we never realized that we're actually living in the best time of the country. We were living in the best times. And for me, as a child growing up, there's certain things that I realized that children of today will never actually be privy to. For example, I remember when chips used to come with toys inside. They used to come with toys. They used to come with money. I remember one of the chip companies did a promotion where... The chips actually came with wrapped up money inside. So 2 rands, 5 right. rands, and all of that. And I was actually chatting to Simpuya about this the other day, and she didn't even remember it. I was like, ah, where are you guys? Because it actually happened.
That.
I remember buying chips, getting money inside, buying more chips, and getting more money inside and buying more chips. My day was just made out of chips.
But now, a packet of chips weighs less than a 2 rand coin or a 5 rand
yes.
coin in those days.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to pick it up and tell which one had the coin in it.
Right.
Exactly. But back then, life was good. We're just getting chips with coins in them and toys. Nowadays, they don't even have that. I haven't seen chips with toys or coins in them in a while.
Mm-mm.
But it's like looking at photos of yourself 10 years ago and thinking, at that stage, I thought I was fat.
And, yes.
And at that stage, I thought I was so miserable because I needed to lose weight. And, you know, yeah, things
well,
change, guys.
I mean, the funny
thing... Be grateful
thing,
for what you've got now.
The funny thing is I'm not miserable, but I was, you know, for the last 2 weeks, I was also very sick. I don't know what the hell was wrong with me. I still haven't figured it out. Someone said that there's all this weird shit going around at the moment, and it's mostly because we were... socially distanced, and we were sanitizing, and we weren't passing on germs to each other like we normally do over the last 2 years, because that's what doctors are telling me. So it's not my surmising what happened, but that's just what doctors are saying to me. Either way, when I started feeling better on Friday, which is the first day in 2 weeks that I really felt better, and you know, I was grumpy. Like, I was so grumpy on the show on Thursday morning. I was basically like, I'm going to quit this show. I've had enough. You know, I was bitching and complaining. And just feeling better about myself, and that's something you can always do, you know? When you're feeling down and things are not going your way and you're not in a great space, and it happens to all of us. Don't beat yourself up about it. But what you can do is, like, get yourself in fighting condition. Like, go to gym, eat properly, wake up early, do some exercise, go for a walk, go for a run. Like, that stuff can really improve. Because no one can take...
It does.
Like, the ANC, no matter how bad they are at what they do, they cannot make you fat or useless. You can only do that to yourself. So, start with that stuff. And I know it's irritating for some of us because we kind of want to blame the food, or you want to say, oh, well, there's no power, so I have to eat takeaways or whatever. Because we do that,
yeah.
right? We, like, look for
like
excuses.
Like, fruit and vegetables are expensive.
Right. We'll find excuses. But honestly, like, your health is your business and your responsibility. And when I started feeling better on Friday, I was like, man, I'm up and at 'em. And I spent this weekend just recuperating, doing very little. I'd hardly saw anybody, but I'm getting back into, like, training, getting fit. I'm going to feel good. No one is going to take me down with them because they're fucking useless. I'm going to be strong.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we can all do. So get on that train because your health is entirely in your hands. No one can make you fit and no one can make you fat.
Mm. Get on that
train. Be brave. Mm. Be strong.
Right.
For the Lord thy God is with thee. I
Amandala.
Am not afraid. No, no, no. I am not dismayed. Yeah. So just be brave. Be strong.
Look at you, Leanne.
Everything's going to be fine. Mm.
Right.
And you know, working out changes your mindset. It changes the way you think. You become so positive. You have such a positive outlook on life when you start working out.
Right.
So it's great.
So taking us back to the orc thing, Congo Chris says, quoting from Lord of the Rings, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to," whatever. I think he misquoted at the end there, but yeah. You don't get to choose, hey? You just got to make the most of whatever you got, so let's go. What are you going to do? Sit and go, I'm not rich. Where? I don't live in Canada. Where? I'm not the cleverest in my class. Where? Stop moaning. The world is so full of people feeling sorry for themselves at the moment that just by not feeling sorry for yourself, you will stick out.
Absolutely. And you know what? Twitter is the pit. If you just log into that app, you would think South Africa is working. Would think South Africa is on a route of change.
Really?
Because there, people are so outspoken. People are actually, like little revolutionaries on Twitter. They're fighting for causes. They're fighting each other. They're so wild. They're crazy. Come to reality. They're like, yeah, no more ANC. Let's vote ANC out. The whole of Twitter will agree. There's even a hashtag that was happening every Monday or something.
Really?
Like ANC and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Oh, yeah, the same people voted for them again.
Oh, here's a good one. So if you're feeling down, Ancient Ether says, "Gareth, when I lack motivation, I get a 60-minute back massage. You're on a lacquer track." That is a good, that is a good thing to do. And you know what? There's always going to be someone who can give you a back massage. There are people right now in Harare who are offering back massages, and some of them are pretty good, I'm sure. So
yeah,
it's never that bad, right?
I
wish it had not. Oh yeah, okay. So just completing and correcting the quote, but that is not for them to decide, says Congo Chris at the end of that that quote from Gandalf and Frodo. I can't believe we're quoting J.R.R. Tolkien. Who was actually born in Bloemfontein in South Africa and wrote the most brilliant books that have now been made into the most expensive movies and TV shows ever. Lord of the Rings was, when it was made, one of the most expensive movies and one of the best made movies ever. Remember? Now they've got Rings of Power, which is the most expensive TV show ever made by one of the most wealthy companies in all of human history, Amazon. And this guy was a humble dude born in Bloemfontein. So,
The Plattelands.
Anyone can do this stuff. You could have the next great work in you right now. Dogoza says quite rightly, don't allow yourself to be fat. Yes, correct. Right, exactly. When you're sick and you get better, there is no better feeling. It puts things in perspective. All you have is your health. That is so true. And B, I can't tell you, having just... And I wasn't dying or anything, but for a while there I thought, oh my God, it's the end. Like, I couldn't even see properly at one point. No, but you know...
What? I didn't even know you were sick.
No,
what,
I know.
What was it, a flu sick or a vomity sick?
It was a flu sick, but it had some very weird and dark and strange things as attachments.
Aibo.
Like, I honestly couldn't see... I couldn't see properly. I felt like every time I closed my eyes, there were like flashing lights all around me.
And
not great.
That's like a migraine type thing.
Yeah, it was. It was. Ooh. And I was kind of like, I'll get better. Next time I start feeling shitty, I'm just going to go straight to the doctor and not try to be a hero. Because, you know, once you get on the right meds and you can sort yourself out, then it just helps you to get better quicker. So I'm not going to let that happen again. But honestly, to feel, to have control of your own body again, to be able to, like, to move properly, to be able to see properly, all of that stuff. You take it all for granted, and then when it's gone away, ooh, it's all you think about, hey?
It takes like four or five hours or a full night of nausea to wake up feeling better, for you to realize that the world is just wonderful.
No, it is. And listen, as I said before, this is also the best time to be around. I mean, everything is so beautiful right now. And we haven't even had our first rain. And I think that's also why a lot of people are... I mean, they have in the Cape, but that's because they have their rain in the winter. Mm. But in Johannesburg in particular, until it rains, people are grumpy. Because
they say tomorrow.
That is true.
Because there's a lot of shit in the air.
It's happening tomorrow?
Is it happening tomorrow? Mm. Good. We'll take
Apparently,
it.
Apparently, yeah.
All right. I'll take it.
It's about time. But you know what, Gareth? Just get yourself that massage. You need it. And you don't even have to pay for a massage. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, you can get a massage chair. You can join Tinder. Get massages there
hey,
as well.
I heard somebody, a little fairy whispered in my ear that you are now you're in the top 99% on OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah.
What? That's within a week.
So...
After they rejected
you. So you see, there are people working. Ladies and gentlemen, in the background, some people are working hard. They're getting there.
We are working hard. We are dipping it, and we are just doing what we have to do. So,
Do you use your own name? Do you use your real name?
No. I use a completely different name.
Okay.
I can't share it at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
No, please.
But I was able to set a new profile picture. It was a profile picture of me in my gown. And I think
I'm gonna show everybody. Hang on, I gotta show people the picture.
Am I ready for this?
Alright, so this is Mashed profile picture on OnlyFans. Let's just remind everybody, OnlyFans is basically a place where you can get naked pictures and naked videos of anyone you want who is willing to be on OnlyFans. And the people who are selling those pictures are making lots and lots of money, and the people who are buying them are willing to pay lots and lots of money. So Mash has jumped on this bandwagon. You know, Leanne, there used to be a time where if you had something like this, if you were on a website where you were nude, you would not get work anywhere else. These days... Now it's the opposite. Now people are like, oh, yeah, you can...
Some people's lives were completely changed and taken over by one nude photo that was leaked on the internet.
Yes,
and how they fought to get that off of the internet or back into their own possession. Now people are giving away photos of themselves nude. Well, not giving, but, you know.
Well,
selling.
Very interesting.
Selling. Yeah, so here it is. So here's Mash's profile picture on OnlyFans. There he is. It is silver. In his silver bathrobe.
Stunning.
Looking.
Stunning.
with his
beautiful
tongue curled into the one corner of his mouth. Looking very slutty. But there he is. He's going to be...
That's my gown.
He's going to be making money. That's what he's going to be doing. Lots of money.
He's about to expose a testicle.
We've almost got one ball sticking out there. That's just... there's nothing below the
beautiful.
Waist.
I think this is stunning. My account is active. A couple of subscribers, actually. Maybe one or two.
But how can you be in the top... How can you be in the top 99% of OnlyFans?
Top 99%
stop this dog from barking. Hang on.
Alice. All right.
Alice.
Little shit. Hang on.
Who the fuck is Alice?
Who is Alice?
It's his little doggy.
So the top 99% are the people who aren't doing so great. So,
so
top 1% and top 99%.
Oh, I thought you were in the top 1%. Oh, you're in the bottom. You're in the bottom 99%.
I love OnlyFans because it actually motivates you. Instead of saying you're in the bottom, they say you're in the top 99%. You're in the top.
Sorry, Mash. I was giving you congratulations, but actually you're a loser. Sorry. I thought this was something to celebrate. Okay, so you're not good at this at all. But at least, hey, at least you're trying. No one wants nude pictures of Leanne and I promise you. Otherwise, we would also be trying.
No.
Trust me. So,
well, I mean, there's certain fetishes. You never know.
So I took little Ellis in to be spayed on Monday. I mean, on Friday. So she...
Oh, well,
she was
sounding chipper.
Oh, she's very chipper.
What,
like,
being spayed?
It's basically having a hysterectomy for a dog so that she can't have puppies.
Ooh.
So she's been
you don't want
sterilized.
To have
any no, I don't want to no. have any puppies. You're not allowed to breed with these dogs unless you have... I don't know, all kinds of certifications and shit. So,
and
anyway, she went in on Friday morning, straight after the show, and then I collected her on Friday afternoon, and she was very cross with me for all of Friday. But then Saturday morning, woke up, and she was like exactly the same, if not even more energetic than she was before. So I wish humans had the ability to just go in for an op on, you know, Friday morning at 8 o'clock and... By 2 o'clock the next afternoon, the same afternoon, like back, it takes us way longer,
yeah.
right? It takes us longer to get over ourselves.
Let's not play games. Apparently, it is very painful for a dog to go through a spaying.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's like having an organ from your insides taken out. And the funniest is it's when it's the dad of the family who drops off the dog or the cat. To be castrated, on the other hand.
Mm.
They feel really sorry for them, but that's the easiest process. It's literally taking the blade and making a tiny little X, and you apply pressure on the testicles and pop them out, and
Oof.
You put one or two stitches in. But with the hysterectomy, there are internal stitches and external stitches. So good for her for feeling all chipper and running around. Sweet thing.
Sure.
That is so...
A lot of people talking about Mash's picture here. So Congo Chris says, what you can't see in that picture is that the gown stops mid-thigh. Ryan, who's working on the show in the background, says, what brand of gown do you use there, Mash? You should be endorsed by this company. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that gown's made its way around his complex in that gown.
Of course he does. Yeah, I mean, Sonella even said, is that the same gown he wore... outside his complex. Very clever. Oh, man. All right, so Congo Chris reckons we have a sex line voice and an OnlyFans star. We should call this Masturbation Monday. Basically because, Leanne and Mash are really, they're raising the quality of the show here this morning. That's all.
Raising the bar.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's and bring good morality to a show on Monday.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tracy points out that adults are wusses, kids are resilient. Whenever I see adults check into hospital, even for elective surgeries, they instantly become sick. I don't know if that's true for everybody. Quick test to see who loves you the most. Lock your wife and dog in the boot of your car for an hour. When you open it up, see which one is happy to see you. Yeah, that's going to go very well for you. That's a really good idea. All right, so let's talk about a few things that are going on today. Obviously, is the end of been 10 days of, like, mourning in Britain. They finally are going to bury the Queen. Today's the funeral. So there's a lot of talk about that in the headlines. And a lot of people are being very mean about poor old King Charles. We've been mean as well, I won't lie. We've been making fun of his sausage fingers and all his dramas with a pen because he had a little...
Why are we being so horrible to him?
Well, I suppose because people love to... people just love to be mean. I mean, it makes us laugh. I was making fun of his fingers as well. And the fact that his pen leaked, and then he went, oh, bloody thing. I hate it. Oh, I do hate this. Anyway, I mean, I get like that with pens, so I'm in exactly the same place. You've seen me. Look. Leanne, if I have a bad pen, I go, oh, fucking pen. Exactly like that, so I understand. Apparently someone walked up
Garrett,
to him.
There are many similarities, okay? Let's just remember
Well, I don't have the sausage fingers, that's for sure.
No, you don't have those. But in terms of losing your shit over a broken pen, I mean, when you used to sneeze, you'd get cross because that was you losing control of your own body.
Right.
But you've certainly you know, become better on those things. But I just thought to myself, it's so weird how, I mean, he's not my king for sure, but I almost see him in a presidential role where I'm like, I wonder what he's going to do that's going to be different. But we never thought that of the Queen. It's almost as if we didn't have those expectations. Is that a gender thing? Is it a respect thing? Is it because Charles comes across as quite spoilt and mollycoddled? It's very strange.
I think it might be a gender thing to start off with.
You think?
Especially to us as South Africans, because we've never even had a female president or any female leadership role.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
In this country.
Yeah, I think people were also, they knew the Queen for 70 years, that the Queen was just part of the fabric of society. She was part of what was there. We could depend on, there would always be like some Queen of England. Now she's gone. And I also have to admit this, you know, the symbolism, and really that's all you have with royal families and with monarchs, because they're not important these days. They don't make the actual decisions. Like, the Queen is not the one who made, you know, the important decisions in the kingdom. She was just a figurehead. She's ceremonial. So really, political power doesn't rest with her anyway. She wasn't the one who made any decisions around COVID, for example, right? That was the government that did that. But she was there as a quite potent symbol of, like, continuity, tradition, history, values.
Steadfastness.
All of that stuff. And what I was going to say just now is I have to admit that I think maybe her death represents a lot to even people who are not British citizens, to people who don't regard her as the Queen. I mean, I know old, you know, Tswana women in South Africa who are very upset that the Queen has died. Very upset.
Yes.
Because to them, she represents all of those things we just said, and they don't like change. Nobody likes change, really. Mm. People just learn to deal with change. And I wonder if the Queen dying isn't also another thing that people have to deal with that they don't want to deal with. Like, the world's changing all the time, not always for the better. Someone like the Queen goes, you're like, oh, she's been there for like 90 years. We knew what we were dealing with. Now it's different. And people don't like that.
Mm.
And it upsets them. And they don't want to look at, you know, they don't want to look it in the eye and, like, come to terms with it. So instead, they get mean about Charles or whatever.
Poke fun at his sausage fingers.
Yeah.
Some of the places, the butcheries in the UK, are selling sausages, and they're called King Charles III sausage fingers. That's what they're called.
Don't let taste those.
But
I don't even think it's people being mean about his fingers. It's just the truth. Those fingers do look like... What did Gareth call them? Chapata sausages.
Yeah, chipolatas.
Chipolatas.
They do look like chipolatas.
Chipolata sausages.
Horrible pictures.
There are even articles now on figuring out why he has these sausage fingers, right?
Mm.
And the possible causes. So they're saying, well, it could be anything from temporary fluid retention, sudden change in temperature, rheumatoid arthritis, and then it goes on and it just digs deeper. Could be linked to dactylitis or oedema.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
And then it even goes on to, it could be syphilis.
Oh shit.
it's like Googling a symptom and just seeing worse and worse stuff.
Oh my god. No.
But yeah, they go into how some of his ancestors had the same thing, and they had syphilis, TB, arthritis. Anyway.
Well, I'll tell you whatever you've got this morning, we are going to accept you as you are. With Dr. Hanan, it's time for It's Going to Be Okay, which is where we check in with our own household shrink. He's our live-in shrink. He's the guy who we rely on to help us figure out whether or not we're going to have a bad week or a good week, or we can figure out some way through the week. And if you have an issue that you need resolved, and you want to join us live on the show for some free therapy, then send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm well. How are you?
Awesome.
Hey, Doc.
Awesome. So, Doc, we're going to try and get Lebang on. I know she's got load shedding at her house at the moment, but I do want to explain, just to get to the point of this, because even if we can't get Lebang on, I still think it's something worthy of discussion. So she was saying that she suffers from something that I saw DJ Zintler was saying she suffers from as well, which is working mom guilt. So how to get this balance right between working long hours to provide for your kids financially and then also spending enough time with them, which some people say is even more valuable in some cases. So she's tearing herself apart, like how much of what she does on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, Lebang was back at work like 2 weeks after having her kid, is so much of it wrapped up in bringing home the money, and how much of it is about, like, being around, just being present, being the mom. And she said it's tough because she feels like she's between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here on Lebang's behalf. Let me just see if I can get her on here. Hey, Lebang, can you hear us? Ooh, no, I don't think we're going to get her on. But she's like, how much of it is just about money and how much of it is about spending the time? And do you really have to put these two both in the same category and then figure out which one makes you a better person? It's a tough choice, right?
It is a very tough choice, and it's very common. And mothers have it, and dads have it too. The thing with women especially, they tie their identity heavily to being a parent, being a mom. You know, if you ask a guy, hey, tell me about you, the first thing he'll say is his profession. I do this for a living, I do that for a living. If you ask a woman, generally, what right. or tell me a little bit, a bit about you, the first thing that she will say, I'm a mom, I'm a wife. So women tie their identity heavily to their relationships, and the most important ones to them.
Well, maybe,
so
they, of maybe, course they're, maybe they're right, because I've never seen a tombstone that says lawyer or doctor or you know, businessman or CEO. A tombstone always says father, son, brother, sister, wife, daughter. That's what it says.
Relationships are important.
That's
relationships are important.
Yeah.
No question. That's the real stuff. That's the real stuff. So you're going to, at the end of your days, you're going to remember the relationships that you've had with people and the experiences and how they made you feel.
Right.
Relationships are a real deal. And the last 2 years, we've struggled a lot with that. And now that things have opened up, things, people are getting calibrated through other people, which is very, very important. But women do struggle with that. But there is a way to fix it, but you have to be aware of this concept of adulting. And I've mentioned this a couple of times on the show, and I want people to really absorb this because this will help you a lot with your guilt. The concept of adulting is the commitment to a position, commitment to a goal, whilst understanding that that comes at a cost, that comes at a sacrifice. There's no such thing as committing to something without sacrificing something else. Children want all of it. Children want this and that and that and this and getting the benefits without understanding or without taking on the cost. Adults understand that once I commit to a position, I'll get to Lebang in a second, once I commit to a position, that comes at a cost. I can't get away from it. So if I commit, you were talking earlier on the show, I caught the tail end of it about, you know, being healthy. So once I choose to be healthy, I have to let go of sleeping in late. Once I choose to be healthy, I have to sacrifice the chocolate cake or the pizza that I want for lunch. So there's always a sacrifice. So people go, what if I don't sacrifice, I just have the chocolate cake or the pizza or sleep in late? Well, then you sacrifice your health. There's no such thing as committing to a position without sacrificing. And as adults, we accept the value of the position that we've picked, and we take it on with a sacrifice. Now, sometimes my decisions, the positions that I pick, are in conflict. So, for example, in Lebang's case, I want to be an available mother whilst I still want to be able to provide for my family. And sometimes these positions, and you've got to put on a hierarchy, but you have to give up something. So I can't be an available father 16 hours of the day while still be able to provide for my family. Something has to give. And if I don't pick a position, I sit on the fence, I will die on the fence with guilt. I will die on the fence with guilt because I'll never be able to be the available father that I want to be, and I'll never be able to provide as well as I want to provide. So I've got to pick a position. But the position doesn't have to be one way or another. It could be somewhere in the middle. So, for example, if a mom wants to be an available mom, define that for yourself. So I want to give you a quick example. I had a patient. I'll tell you two stories. This particular individual is dating a guy, and she is so, her definition of loyalty is so skewed that she does not allow herself to watch movies with other men in it, because she says that if she sees other men in a movie, that means she's cheating on her boyfriend. Wow. And she said to me, Khanan, what's wrong with loyalty? And I said to her, there's nothing wrong with loyalty. There's something wrong with your definition of loyalty. That's what's tearing you apart. Another story, I had a guy that used to wash his hands literally 16 hours in the day. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, Khanan, what's wrong with hygiene? I said, there's nothing wrong with hygiene. There's something wrong with your definition of hygiene. That's what's tearing you apart. So the same thing with being a mom. Somebody would say to me, Khanan, what's wrong with being an available mom? Well, there's nothing wrong with being an available mom, but there might be something wrong, and maybe you need to adjust your definition of what it means to be an available mom. Maybe it's not a time thing. Maybe it's a quality thing. So instead of defining being an available mom, well, being with my kids for 16 hours in the day, maybe you need to define being an available mom is being with my kids 3 hours in the day, but put your phone away when you bath them. Put your phone away when you play a puzzle with them. Turn the TV off. Stop talking to anybody else whilst you're engaging, and make the quality higher. But you have to pick a position. You can't sit on the fence and want everything. Pick a position. And maybe that means also being a provider. So what's wrong with being a provider? Nothing wrong with being a provider, but maybe your definition of being a provider needs to shift as well. There has to be an adaptation, and there has to be an acceptance that a sacrifice comes with that position.
I do like what you said just now about how everything is a trade-off. What you said just now about how everything is a trade-off.
Everything.
Because once you realize that you know, there's no free lunch. There's no such thing as getting everything you want all of the time with no cost. Everything's got a cost.
Everything.
So once you realize everything's a trade-off, then you start to think of all your outputs and inputs as sliding scales, and you can adjust them according to what your needs and your desires and your suggested outcomes for yourself ought to be. And then it makes it much easier. You don't have to have, and guilt is completely pointless in this whole story, right? I mean, guilt's not going to help anybody, and it's going to make you feel a whole lot worse about your sliding scales. And if you're dumb enough to feel guilty about a bunch of sliding scales, you're missing the point, because there's no reason to feel like that.
So, Gareth, I mean, how many times have we discussed the coin theory?
Mm-hmm.
It completely applies here. Invest your time and energy into things that create the most amount of value, and invest your time into things that create the least amount of cost. It is what it is. You've got a limited amount of coins invested where there's value. Now, guilt is actually, believe it or not, is a very functional emotion. We've developed it 200,000 years ago because guilt makes us assimilate into a cultural and social norms. People that don't feel guilty, we send them away to prisons and psychiatric wards where they literally shun them away, because you have to socialize yourself somehow. So if I hurt the community norm, I should feel guilty, because that would make me stop violating the rules and get back right back into the community or the social circle, which ultimately protects me. But when guilt serves no purpose, it actually breaks me down. It makes me feel less about myself as a human being. Then that is when I need to shift. Not, I can't eliminate guilt. That's not healthy. But I've got to change my definition of what is right versus what is wrong. So as life changes in front of us, we've got to readapt and change our definition of what is acceptable and what is not. Because what was acceptable to me when I was 5 years old is very different to what was acceptable to me at 10, at 15, at 30, at 35. And I have to adapt with the times, otherwise I'm going to feel guilty for no reason. It's going to break me down for sure.
Isn't it also just a big thing, just thinking of Lebang's question, is with mothers and working mothers, it's so easy to fall into the trap of comparing yourself to other mothers and what percentage they're giving to their job or to their kids. It's so easy to compare, and it just shouldn't be like that. I mean, I like to think that the generation of single and childless by choice people are quite comfortable with what they've chosen, and they know that somebody else is going to be in a completely different position. Their best friend might be married with four kids, and we shouldn't compare ourselves in that way. But mothers and even fathers can't get away from this. What are other mothers doing? Are they doing it right and I'm doing it wrong? So easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Leanne, I think we've discussed this before, but this is such an important concept. The whole importance of being calibrated accurately. Every human being needs to be calibrated with external instruments. That goes for without saying. Nobody can calibrate themselves. The problem is that people try to calibrate themselves by their own feelings, and we discussed it many times. Children do that. Children let their feelings guide them, lead them. So what feels good, they do, and what feels bad, they don't. Adults don't get calibrated by their own feelings. They get calibrated by goals which are external. Goals and measurements. Goals and measurements. Goals and measurements. Mm. So the problem is that when people try to calibrate themselves, they end up gaslighting themselves. Or the problem is people try to calibrate themselves with broken instruments. So lean on my cardiologist to tell me what's wrong with my car, or lean on my mechanic to tell him what's wrong with my heart. It's just a terrible way to calibrate yourself, because you'll end up being gaslighted. So you've got to ask yourself, am I being calibrated with the right circle, with the right people around me? Now, there's something really beautiful about being calibrated. And the analogy I might have used this with you before is, if my goal is to lose 1 kilogram of weight a week, that's my goal. And my way that I calibrate myself is get on the scale. So I get on the scale, and the scale shows me that I've lost 1 kilogram a week. Now, Joe Schmo comes along and says, Hanan, you're looking fat. Well, guess what? I don't care, because Joe is not my instrument. The moment you get calibrated, you stop caring about what other people think. The subtle art of not caring what other people think is being calibrated accurately. Now, it works the other way too, because if the scale tells me I've gained weight, let's just say, and Joe Schmo comes along and says, Hanan, you're looking amazing, guess what? I don't care, because Joe is not my chosen instrument. Don't fall in love with toxic positivity either, because toxic positivity is having everybody, all your narcissists have it, having people around you tell you, great, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're wonderful, you're great, you're amazing, you're great. That's the perfect way to fall apart. If every single person told me, if the scale, imagine my scale always told me that I'm looking great, I won't adjust, I'll crash every single time. It will gaslight me. So I've got to choose the right instrument, and instruments that are valid, instruments that are reliable, and that's the only way to not compare yourself to someone else.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it. Can't argue with it. As usual, Dr. Hanan's got some smart, sensible words for us this Monday morning. Thanks, Doc. It's always good to check in with you. You are keeping us all sane, even if it's just one Monday at a time. All right, good stuff.
Great to be with you guys.
Thanks, Doc. Very good. That is Dr. Hanan Bushkin. It is going to be okay. And to go circling all the way back to what Leanne asked right at the start of the show, it's going to be okay. I mean, that's what we do on a Monday. So human trafficking, to go from the sublime to the ridiculous, or vice versa, depending on how you want to look at this. But human trafficking is a serious thing. It's the fastest growing. Is that yours, Leanne?
That's
yeah.
Me.
Oh, it's you,
no,
Mash.
No.
Jeez. 7 o'clock, there we go. Mash on the money. Human trafficking is the fastest growing crime in the world, and in South Africa it is estimated that 155,000 people are currently enslaved. Yep, We talk about slavery having been a thing in the past. We talk about slavery having been the biggest issue in Africa's past, in America's past, and all over the place. But actually, there are 155,000 people who are currently enslaved in South Africa, in our own country. Right?
Sure.
On the latest episode of Future Impact, you can find out about the people who are leading the local fight against the $16 trillion global industry and what banks and other organizations are doing to help combat the scourge. Listen to Future Impact, and this episode especially, from Investec, available wherever you get your podcasts. If you really want to know about some dark and unbelievable things that are happening, you need to listen to this episode of Future Impact from Investec. All the episodes are good, but if you want a little bit of a wake-up call, this is the one to start with. That's Future Impact from Investec, wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up in the next hour, among other things, Markets Mondays. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com. Good Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.